Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I'm David.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ryan.
And today we're going to do a tournament recap and a little discussion on our list pairs and some takeaways that we had from the tournament.
Yeah, just touch in from our previous cast about what our pairs are and where they're at now that we actually got a tournament in.
All right. You want to go first?
Boy, do I. All right. All right. So my pair to the tournament was Kane 2, Haley 2. I can't remember if I changed my list since we brought to the tournament, but my Kane 2 list is Kane 2, Reinhold, Stormwall, Stormlances, Junior with Firefly, and other stuff. My Haley 2 list is Haley, Thorn, Rowdy with a Squire, Full Trenchers with UA, Finn, Junior with Grenadier, and Iona and Holt's in the Kane 2 list. Quick rundown of my tournament games for me. Round 1, I played Assyria. Kane 2 did great against the infantry. I gave up my Stormwall basically for free. I didn't realize the Arcanist gives plus power, can remove disruption, and gives plus 2 on the charge. But even trading the Stormwall, Hyperion came in, I killed it. Ended up grinding down all of his solos and won on scenario.
I just want to interject. So I'm sorry. Kane 2 beat Assyria and you gave away a Colossal for free?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feeded... Well, this is part of the list. So part of the reason why I like the list with Stormwall and Stormlances is heavy things that come in and try to bully Kane, I can remove in two or three ways. The trade for the Stormwall, sometimes I'm planning. I would have loved to get one more round of shooting at it, but with Blinding Light, it was my disadvantage in the game. I also got a little bit lucky in that Assyria missed a Signs Important Blinding Light and another non-boosted Blinding Light on Kane 2 at one point, so that's what won me the game. But still, like, playing it differently, I think I would have feeded to remove the Arc Node and then really ground it out. So...
case building.
Yeah, no.
Like, Kane can play without a Colossal. He can play 40.
Well, not really. He traded his Colossal for my Colossal, and then okay. It was very close, and I ground out the scenario. Okay. So it wasn't total, like, luck. But anyway, second round, Kane 2 versus Osram. I think the key for this game is I kind of played back until turn 2. I was just kind of picking off Eris. I picked the taking chip damage at the gun bunnies until the Stormlances jammed all of the bunnies to counteract the feat. Osram came up and then I assassinated him. Bullet Dodger really won me the game that game. That and the wall so the Earthbreaker couldn't get Quake Torpedoes on Kane. Round 3, Kane 2 again. I rode him pretty much all day against Damiano. I felt pretty advantaged in that matchup. Between the Stormwall, Firing, and Kane 2, I could remove a heavy pretty reliably each turn. Played a little bit conservative and it got a little dicey near the end, but I was able to pull out another scenario victory on the pit just because he couldn't throw enough stuff towards Kane to clear my flag. And then that got me to the finals. It was Kane 2, Haley 2 versus Kane 2, Haley 2. I dropped Haley 2 in the finals and Kane 2 was dropped against me. I felt pretty good in the matchup, but I really screwed up. I put Trenchers next to Stormlances instead of Trenchers to harass Ace and the Centurion. So basically when that happened, he was able to clear one zone and just ride it to a scenario loss. So I ended the day 3-1 and in second place.
Cool.
I ended the day 3-1 and not in second place. I ran Sorsha 1, Butcher 3. Sorsha 2 has already been tagged out just because I love Sorsha 1. And she's got Sorsha 1, Reinhold, Behemoth, Marauder, Gun Carriage, Eris 1, Kel Balok, Alton Ashley, Marksman, Alexia 2, Widowmaker Scouts, Iona and Holt, and Valachev. And the Butcher 3 list, I didn't play at all. So we'll skip that for now. Round 1, I played against Osram running an Earthbreaker and a giant parcel of gun bunnies. On my turn 2, I went for a really good assassination on Osram, which included many, many bad damage rolls and a bricked harm roll on a stationary Osram disrupted and everything. Kept with it, though, wound up trading my gun carriage for his feet fairly early in the game, killed the Colossal, eventually my battle group wound down, but I was winning on scenario. Game fatigue forgot to account for energizer and lost on 5 CPs to an Osram charge.
Oops.
Yeah. Could have wind rushed. Didn't. My fault. Round two was against Lich 3 player. Dropped Sorsha into that again. The gun carriage got a little hot and killed Bathroom on its own.
In 2 shots?
Charged him, hit him with the impact attack, knocked him down, hit him with the charge attack, blasted him with both big gunshots and a little gunshot, and he died.
Oof.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Gun carriage paid for himself almost. And then Lich just didn't have a big enough army that was resilient enough to snipers in a stationary feat, and I wound up killing everything on the board. And then next game was against Severius 2. I dropped Sorsha into it. In retrospect, I either probably wouldn't again or I would play very differently. Went for a top of 2 assassination after he popped his feet and blew up a bunch of my like solos and stuff. Still killed him. But it was a close thing. My last game was against Butcher 1, and I dropped Sorsha 1 into it, and he had, like, Iron Fangs, Rifle Core, etc. Turns out none of those things deal well with a stationary feat. And
I would assume not.
Yeah, and the gun carriage, like, does a very similar job to Rifle Core, but trumps them most of the time because it's faster and better at killing them than they are at it.
So it sounds like the gun carriage was the all-star of the day for you.
Oh, yeah. Gun carriage is a boss. I love that model so much.
I really like it, too. I'm very impressed.
It's super good. Yeah. That was my tournament.
Awesome. Well, I had a 2-2 record. I did not have the most amazing tournament, but I did have a lot of fun. And the theme of my tournament is big, stompy robots. Hey.
Finally.
You wanted back. I know. Finally. After doing this, you wanna have your jacks smashing into other ones and beating each other and giant werewolves and, yeah, good times. So anyway, my first game I lost. It was against, I brought Vlad 1 and basically with all the melee jacks and some spray ponies. So it was like a... And then
so was it Juggernaut, Devastator, yeah, Behemoth?
Double Devastator, double Jug. No, it was...
Kodiak?
What's it called? No, Ruin. For the upkeep removal.
And spray ponies and Vlad.
And then some spray ponies. Yeah. So I wanted to try the spray ponies over the rifle core. So it might be a little bit different. Anyway, the first game I went against Exelon Thexis and I just...
Ugh, probably the... On the incursion. One thing I didn't want to draw first round was Exelon. Because I think there was 2 or 3 Exelons there.
There were 3 of them.
There were 3 of them. So this is, I guess if we do this more in the takeaways, but he is something that you need to think about. It is a very, very strong list. He is very, very, very strong. And I think there's going to be a lot of him because all of the old...
Body and Soul?
Body and Soul players just have a ton of these... They have the army, basically.
No, they
minus
don't.
The caster,
it's still
right?
$170.
Yeah, is it still a lot? Okay, yeah. Well, I think he's strong enough that you're just going to see him on his own merits. And the fact that Mercenaries is really good. But it was basically like 80 dudes on the table and 2 wreckers. It's a ton of guys. And I was like, oh, sweet. I got this spray cavalry. Devastators can explode. But no, it's too many dudes. It's so many dudes.
Yeah, especially when they're toughing random crap.
Yeah. And so I eventually lost. And it was a really bad scenario to it. So I eventually lost on scenario. And I also underestimated the efficacy of the wreckers in close combat and had one take out basically 3 jacks in one activation.
Yeah.
So it can hit really hard. So that was my first game. Second game was awesome. Vlad won and I got to play into the new Rhett caster. I don't remember what her name
is Helena.
And she basically had like the support for the jacks, 2 of the
Colossals, right?
2 of the Hyperions, yeah. and Imperatus. So basically like a 3 Colossal list. And I ran my Vlad 1 with a bunch of jacks into it. And we just like basically beat on each other. And it basically came down to me not losing on scenario because she couldn't do anything to a Devastator. And I had an effective jam unit and he did not. So I could limit the mobility of one of his Colossals by just sacking the spray ponies. So I took that down. Third one was awesome again. Karchev with like eight jacks into Vlad with five jacks, and it was the pit in the middle. So it was going to end up being like a slugfest, but for whatever reason, he moved his Karchev up way too far forward, and I don't think he really understood what Vlad 1 did. So I killed Karchev by getting two jacks onto him. But that was super fun because he's basically a jack. So that was pretty cool. And then the fourth game... Wait, was it a five-game tournament?
It was four.
It was four, but we could have gone to five.
Oh, okay. The last one I played against Ossian... Or no, not Ossian. I'm sorry, Ron. And that was super fun too. And it was... Ultimately, was that on... it was on Boobs.
Yeah,
it totally was.
Outlast.
And I should have died to an assassination very early. He, I think, is like, you should play him. He feels the most powerful out of stuff that I've faced in Rhett thus far. Yeah,
if there's one Dark Horse caster, I feel it's Ron. Like, Ron has always been good.
I don't even understand that. Like, yeah, he's just good.
That's like the epitome of a Dark Horse caster. When you look at them, you're like, this is good. Why aren't people playing this?
Basically, he should have killed me. He should have killed me on his second turn. But he rolled a one for the slam distance, so it didn't displace the jack that he was slamming over me. It didn't displace Vlad in front of it, as opposed to... So the game should have just ended right there. And then, so we ended up playing an attrition game, and he ended up winning in the end, but I kind of gave it away to him. I could have just moved my Devastator into the middle of the zone to contest. I ended up attritioning the army down, but I didn't, and he was able to get stuff moved out. But it was super fun. And yeah, are we just going to go into takeaways at this point?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So mine are, Exelonthexis is very good. You should watch out for him. He has Mark II Scar 1 level of guys.
So what's your answer for Thexis now then?
It should be Sorsha 1.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, Sorsha 1 does really stomp on him. I think Butcher 3 stomps on him. A lot of the problem is that it is a ton of dudes, and he is rolling enough tough checks that, and there's recursion in this particular version of the list. It will assassinate you. It's going to get the alpha with his heavies. And he's like super crappy stats, but
it's really hard to get
due to
him.
The way that the game has changed around him. And you have to, I think the way to beat him is that you have to either have a way to attrition through all the dudes, or you have to put him in a place where he needs to send his wreckers in to trade with whatever it is, and you need to remove them and then kill him and have enough left to do that. And I almost did, you know, but it's a lot of dudes, and the way the army works, there's enough of them to, like, his dudes can kill your heavies, his dudes can kill your dudes, his heavies can kill your heavies, they'll kill your caster. Doesn't matter. It just has a lot of tools. And yeah, I'm not sure.
Actually has a lot of the same tool. Just
well, it does, but the game has changed tremendously around him.
If you're moving towards heavies, Thexis is a real bummer because between the feet and TK, he moves your stuff around a lot.
Oh my god, yeah. So that was my first takeaway. And I do think you'll see him because of the body and soul thing and the strength of mercenaries in general. But maybe not. Second takeaway, Devastators are an all-star jack. I think they're better than the Juggernaut at this point. They performed every single game. They did not trade down for points a single time, and they prevented me from losing on scenario and consistently prevented my opponent from executing their game plan for a simple 14 points and just park it in a scenario zone, and then you can focus the other 90 points of your list on doing whatever you want it to do. So... they did. They prevented the scenario loss and the game against Ron. Exelonthexis's feet, like, that was a big shock. Whoops, you can't push my guys. That didn't work out for him. You know, they were amazing at stopping assassinations because they can't be knocked down or pushed when it was against the Karchev list. They explode on dudes. No, they're just very, very good. I'm going to continue to rock them.
Yeah, I'll continue to say the same thing I said before. I love one.
Yeah.
One I think is great. Two I think is overkill, but...
Yeah.
You know. I also, I think we have a philosophy difference. Taking a piece for the purposes of not losing, like building around not losing rather than winning, I think is a difference.
Well, my list design is like, if you don't win on, like for that particular, my Vlad 1 list now that I've morphed into, and we can get into that, is like, if you don't win on scenario, then I'm going to beat you.
Uh-huh.
And all that it takes for me to not lose on scenario is to devote this 114-point model, which doesn't have to do anything else, but it oftentimes will do at least 14 points of work and much more.
Yeah, I just always compare it to the Centurion, which does a similar job.
Yeah, Sigmar. Centurion is a great example.
The only difference is the Centurion has its PAL 19 spear or whatever.
Well, it's 18. But 18. Yeah.
It's a badass.
Yeah. And it's arm 24.
And it's like, polarity shield. And, yeah.
And even then, I really struggle to take two.
Yeah.
Unless I'm specifically making a...
I'm coming around to that. Build. There's only one in my Vlad 1 list now. Two of them might be a little overkill. Other takeaways. Zarkova 1, while amazing, has too many hard counters to what she wants to do, unfortunately. This makes me very sad. But yeah, the clouds, just too much sees through them.
Would you say in general cloud walls are having this problem, or is it just a Zarkova 1 problem?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. Cloud walls are very polarizing as far as like some lists just really, really struggle with them.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I'm seeing in my meta, and I think it'll be very, they're power casters. I mean, Kane 2 is, but also Exelon Thexis, like everything has eyeless sight as it turns out. And that sucks.
And we have a Menoth player playing Sevi 2. And
Sevi 2, yeah.
Iris 2 could easily be. I just feel like as good as Cloud Walls are, there's just as many counters to them where your Cloud Wall army needs to do something else besides Cloud Wall. It's a great secondary victory. Mm-hmm. Like if you happen to fall into it and you go, oh wait, you can't answer this, I win now.
There's a lot of other ways to play with it. You know, I still would love to test out her delivering a melee just bunch of dudes with it, or you know, use a Colossal and she's really just using the Cloud Wall for her and like three other models.
Yeah, or sometimes even just the one cloud on a certain...
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Not a cloud wall, but just a cloud. Like
to block a guy.
Yeah, well, the helpfulness of a cloud is also something to be interested in.
What I use it for a lot. Yeah. Is like it works in a similar way to TK, where you can't see what you wanted your heavy to charge, so it can walk, and now its threats significantly reduced.
Or sometimes it's a Econo Piper. Sometimes Piper is just like concealing a few things. You can do the same thing.
Well, it was also -2 to hit in so melee, so you could put, like, I want to try it with some Eliminators, and then now there's suddenly defense 19 in close combat.
Against living non-cold immune models.
I think it's everybody.
It's just everything without immunity, which is fine.
Which is fine, yeah.
Even if it was living.
Yeah, like okay, that's cool.
It's just a nice tool to have in your toolkit, but I don't know if you can rely on Cloud Wall.
Yeah,
like
I don't think you can.
I also think that there's a huge difference between a cloud wall that requires like three moving parts, such as the Haley 3 cloud wall with trenchers or the standard one, and even to some extent a caster like whatever the Menoth one was in Mark II. Yeah, where he's got like a 10-inch control area. This is like placing four clouds anywhere within 14 inches, and that's immensely useful, especially with the I am down on her right now. I feel pretty bummed, but that's okay.
So who are you replacing her with? I'm assuming you're
replacing her. Where I'm at with the game right now is I'm still going to try a bunch of stuff, but I am back to what I was playing in Mark II, which is Butcher 3, who is not lost any power. He's way better, and he got better tools. He's much stronger, and you know, Vlad 1 is the best pair for him, in my opinion.
I don't know if I'd say he's much stronger. He's about the same.
Dude, Ornn Midwinter and Sacred Ward on Ruin. It's just like his big boogeyman was the control casters. And I have played that a few times now with a lot of different stuff, and they have gone down in power, I think. And just playing him once in a Haley 2, like it feels so powerful to be holding three Force of Wills, you know? and that's basically what Ornn Midwinter is. He is so stupid and good. By that, I mean he's good.
Right.
But anyway, Vlad 1 changes. I don't need to be running a melee jack army with him.
I feel you get more mileage out of Signs of Importance if you have guns.
Yeah.
So, and Caterer jacks do both, so why not?
Yeah. I also found that the Cavalry, while okay, often want to be outside of even his prodigious 14-inch signs importance area, so it was kind of limiting. He either had to be in a middle compromising position or they're not benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Rifle Corps is the best thing. So the new list is two Devastators, Behemoth, full Rifle Corps, two Rockets, and a Devastator.
A Destroyer?
A Devastator, two Destroyers.
Oh, okay.
Behemoth. So it's four Jacks, Rifle Corps. I think there's just two Rockets in it. And then it has like some support stuff like Joe and crap. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I'm still going to get the Alpha, and the POW 17 Jacks are generally just going to be fine with that if that needs to happen, and I can shoot. So it's more dynamic. And yeah, and then I'm adding the B3, and then I have a note here. Unfortunate, was hoping for power shift, but he is absurd still. Got better. So that's it. Those are my takeaways.
My takeaways are Sorsha 1 is still good, like what I was running toward the end of Mark 2, and Ocean's 18 style list playing primarily for attrition or scenario is still good, and you can often peddle that into an assassination if your opponent starts to play the game. The matchup against so the Osram game was interesting because I had a really good like assassination early on, like, well, this is too sweet not to take, and it didn't pan out. It didn't even come close to panning out. I think I did like four damage to him. One of the things I learned from that is you know, you can still take that assassination run. It doesn't necessarily preclude playing for attrition if it doesn't work out. So, you know, mentally I'm re-gearing around also having fallback plans and not making like compromising position changes where possible. I did that in the Severius 2 game where I was kind of like, F it, I'll go for the assassination. And
Your prime game plan?
No. No, okay, not
so
at all.
She's a scenario attrition caster first and foremost.
So she's got a backbreaking assassination, but again, it generally doesn't happen without your opponent's cooperation.
Yeah, I feel like most control casters are like this, where if they give you the assassination, great.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
But then you feat for the time walk, and then you either set up a forced assassination two turns from then, or you ride the attrition to scenario victory.
Yeah, and she's got a really powerful time walk situation. I also don't like going for the early assassination like I did in that Severius game. I had some positioning mistakes where I hurt myself, but it could have gone very badly for me trying it the way I did. It didn't, but otherwise, yeah. I mean, a caster usually dies as part of a Sorsha game, but that's not, you know, the main purpose. It's that, you know, your opponent's losing until they choose to start winning thing. And, you know, generally, if you haven't popped your feet, or sometimes even if you have, the second your opponent's caster chooses to get involved in a game with Sorsha, you can end it. Other takeaways, fatigue in my first game got pretty bad toward the end. There's no substitute for thoroughness. I still had 15 minutes on my clock.
You know, maybe you should listen to our preparing for a tournament podcast.
Yeah, that's true. What was your mental state going into this tournament?
Incredibly hungover. Terrifically hungover.
Would you say that was probably not the key to winning?
I felt sad for you. I was like, oh man, you're in so much pain, dude.
But that's one of those, you know,
Bloody
one
Mary,
of those,
the yeah. secret to tournament.
Oh my goodness.
It's one of those mind over body things though. Like I had very much, you know, just put myself in a place mentally and decided like I'm not going to let this interfere with me. I'm just going to play a game to the best of my abilities and like really be here for that game. And I got to the point where I was winning very handily, and like, now it is okay to give in to fatigue and sit down and be 8 inches from Osram. Oh, shit.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, losing on 5 CP is not fun. You know, I guess that's a lesson. Other lessons are lessons I would hold up from the opposite end of my games. Holy crap, do not bring a bunch of melee dudes and expect it to work against a control caster. Do not do it.
It's definitely what they prefer to see. They get even more time walk out of it.
Yeah. Plans that are based on infantry doing a lot of work don't work into a lot of control casters. If your pairing can't handle a control caster, go back to the drawing board. Control is the best strategy in the game, and if you can't deal with it, you have problems.
Fair.
I agree with you. Yeah. You used to be able to override control with quantity of dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
you, I think, just... that's the one change to the addition, because you're forced to take that extra heavy. You don't have that extra infantry unit that was like leapfrogging and running up and buying the rest of those like good infantry time to like recover from the stationary or the time walk feat or whatever.
Yeah.
Like those 10 extra dudes in the back don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, like, those 10 extra dudes not existing lowers the value of all the other dudes that are still present. And I think, like, well, while you still want an infantry contingent to your army, it's not, you know, excepting somebody like maybe Thexus, it's not really going to be infantry based to the same extent. And like, this is why I've started replacing like Winter Guard Rifle Corps or things like that with gun carriages, or with Ulan, something that doesn't match the old traditional Mark II infantry role, because that role just isn't as good anymore. In certain cases, I think you want self-sufficient, control-resilient things that aren't requiring more guys in the back to back it up necessarily.
Hmm. You have some takeaways?
Sure. So in general, I mean, happy with my lists. They got me to the finals, so like my pair isn't changing. Wasn't super excited with some of the decisions I made, but being the first Mark III tournament, it's to be expected. Like, playing Assyria again and just seeing how that army works. I think Kane feats to take out the Chimera to shut down Blinding Light, and then I kind of slog out a little bit more. Like, I could have contested one zone with the Stormwall. It's going to get Blinded Light the first turn, but then if I kill the Chimera, he doesn't get it again.
So the takeaway is that against Assyria, kill her Arcnode?
Yeah.
And like, you can trade down for it, basically.
Just do whatever, like, feat for it, it's fine. But then after that, Kane can
kill
the whole army. I'm not worried about not getting output out of my
list.
Can
she Blinding Light on casters? Does that work on them?
Yep.
I don't have the card in front of me. Oh, yeah. Well. I know she like poops on Colossals pretty bad.
Yeah. So I really needed to clear that. That was my one takeaway. My third game, I definitely needed to clean up some positioning. Like, I forgot some trick shots onto Gorman, which triggered a warpath, which could have cost me the game. I forgot to Arcane Shield my Stormwall. So just order of activation stuff. But in general, I'm really happy with my Kane 2 list, the strategy being the Stormwall. I think the Stormwall really helps Kane 2 more than the average build, because there's things I'm worried about, like hard control, like Sorsha or Krios.
Would you still put the Storm? I mean, obviously this is limited by your model.
Oh, I want it to be Hurricane.
The 100% Hurricane is your preference,
but it doesn't exist. The Stormwall has some other options where it's not the worst. Like, the few things I like Stormwall more into are into Thexus, for example, because I can put down covering fires, which they don't seem great against arm 17, but if like one dude passes his tough check, like if I plink one and he toughs, like the rest of them don't get the charge, it can be potentially really annoying.
Well, it's also every time they go through it, they're taking a 40% chance of,
right,
of you cracking armor, which is not good.
Yeah. So that still has some options. There's also some tricky things I can do with the lances and the storm pod. Like, I feel very safe against Eris one, just because if she ever gets within 19 inches of the storm wall, she dies.
Yeah,
which is
Lectra leap off of her.
Yeah, she
off of the pod.
She threats 19, so if she's threading Kane or the Stormwall,
she has one turn to do one thing.
No, she doesn't. Like, if she gets within 19 inches of the Stormwall, as long as the Stormwall is closer to her than Kane, she dies. Like, she won't get a disruptor bolt off on Kane.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the Stormwall's immune to disruption, so she doesn't do anything to it either. My list, its goal was to kind of meta the meta. Because a lot of people are looking for TKs or punishing heavies or movement effects, like things that you can do to heavy jacks, and the Colossal shuts a lot of that down.
Next level.
Yeah.
Meta the meta is one of those phrases that bothers me.
Alex,
you're just trying to metagame.
Yeah.
That's what metagaming is. You're metagaming.
Right. I'm metaing the meta of the metagame.
It's not terrible.
But yeah, that's why I like my Kane 2 list. It's giving him a bunker even without the rack marker, and it just pushes the, like, people have to come into his 19 to deal with the Stormwall.
Yep.
That's the goal of the list, and that worked pretty well. The Haley 2 list I'm also happy with. It's a little dicier than what I would like, but I feel I'm not playing it to its full extent. So the main goal of that list is just to ram Old Rowdy down people's throat with the Time Walk. And if he has a lane, then he'll do a lot of work with the knockdown and everything else. But even if not, I really like it as a counter gun line. The trenchers are sitting at def 19 dug in, no blast damage. Everything else is like def 16 to 20.
I'm really surprised you don't take a reach jack as far as Rowdy, especially with their feet. Is there like some reasoning behind that?
I mean, Rowdy gets is more focus efficient. If I Haley too is going to suffer against other heavies, like multiple heavies.
Yeah.
So Rowdy is the most consistent way where I can throw something out and get it done with Rowdy.
My whole thinking is like her feet allows you to alpha a number of jacks equal to however many heavies you're running, like two storm clouds or something. But if you can do it at reach most of the time, that prevents them from...
Well, so my theory with Rowdy is he still threats up to 15.
So he's going to...
He's going to go out just as far.
Okay.
And on feet, he's going to countercharge.
Yep, that's a big...
And thing. Retaliatory strike.
Yeah. He's also really tough.
He's a good jack.
And he's focus efficient.
Oh, yeah. Free charges are great.
But he's also aggressive makes his damage curve pretty good.
No,
he's got that
more than a storm clad.
Free charges are awesome.
But I like the diversity. The Grenadier being able to kill a lot of things you wouldn't expect.
Talk about the Grenadier. That might be a good takeaway.
Yeah, so usually what's happening with Haley is first turn. I prefer to go second almost in every case. So I can charge up and feet. Bottom of one. So the Grenadier is getting probably temporal accelerated four shots into whatever you've put near.
Yeah, but what is it just baseline?
So
I feel like people don't know.
Yeah,
about that.
It's a POW 13 arcing fire range 10.
It used to be 12.
Gun. Right. Yeah. The boost in POW is a big deal. The arcing fire is nice. And with the time walk, I'm going to get 7 to 8 shots with it against. Things that are, it shoots 6 plus 8 plus 10, 24 inches up the board. So if you're past the halfway line, the Grenadier is putting shots into you.
It's very good. I like it a lot.
It's totally worth pointing out. Like it's hard to see in your mind's eye at first unless you're used to it, but it puts out 3 shots with no focus investment. Like any focus you put into it converts straight to accuracy or damage.
And mostly damage.
And POW 13 is the most flexible, like it can chip heavies, and it's now POW 7 blast damage, so
and
it kills solos dead, and it...
Well, it's, if you throw a harm out there, it's doing the work of 3 defenders.
Yeah,
the harm is huge, and Haley 2 delivers Iona and Holt better than anyone, like, with Murdoch, they're just, you know, sitting at def 16 more if they find any terrain on the board.
It is a huge problem model for a lot of lists that that aren't going to understand and think you're like, aha, that's so funny.
And then between Trenchers and Thorn, like, I just feel like it's an all-in-all great scenario list. The only thing I'm considering changing is I feel I have 12 points of, like, flex between the Trenchbuster, Gorman, and a Tinker. That's probably going to change to, like, Eris 2 in a Trench Buster or Eris 1, Tinker, and Lanissa. I like Eris 1 in the list to really punish casters, but I like Eris 2. Eris 2 and Thorn with having like 2 disruptions a turn
seems
would be
good.
Even better to control heavies. But all in all, I'm very happy with the list.
Yeah, cool. My own preferences would be like forego caster punishment, forego the, you know, the assassination, like wombo combo, and just focus on like Eris 2 is a super elite skirmisher. She does what Eris 1 does against non-casters a million times better.
It's really the purgation that's the answer, because Eris 1 disrupts 2, and she has the deadly bolt, the 3 damage, which is situationally great. So.
Oh, I'm thinking principally here of reposition. Just Eris 2's ability to shoot and scoot, like, that's gigantic, and it makes worlds of difference in terms of her personal survivability.
Well, I know I'm certainly guilty of evaluating her and just like snap judgment, like, oh, they can still keep their upkeep. Like Eris 2 is an upkeep removal machine from Mark 2. She's crap.
Yeah. Part of the reason I lost in the finals was I couldn't effectively deal with arcane shielded storm lances. Part of was positioning and partly some good play by my opponent, and lastly some terrible dice.
But Purgation gets right around.
But yeah,
that.
I think Eris 2 kill with Haley's feet turn, she kills 2
totally
easily.
Yeah. You put her, Harlan Versh, in a list, and it is like the Purgation is good enough. They got to respect that. They probably can't.
Or they don't Arcane Shield the Storm Lances. So, yeah, but either way, I feel like
either way, you're fine. You're getting value out of it. No, absolutely.
But the thing about the transition from Mark 2 to Mark 3, where Eris was an upkeep removal bot and she's no longer that, like, she kind of removes upkeeps in certain specialized situations. Don't even think about her upkeep removal. Like, upkeep removal is vastly diminished in the game because Eris no longer automatically removes upkeeps. Don't think about her in that way. Think about her as like a super elite skirmisher. She's like Harlan Versh on crack.
Yeah. Agree. I'll probably forget that she even does that at some, like, I'll be shooting crap get purgation damage off, and I'll just like won't even be like, oh, do you want to upkeep that? like I'll just, I won't even ask. It won't even matter.
And she's got assault now too, and she has actual real melee ability. Yeah. That mattered in my first game when Eris was Eris 1 was trying to take a flag, and Alton Ashley just charged her. and they sat there for like 6 rounds until eventually Eris died, because Eris is sitting there he's trying to roll like 10s to hit her for a dice off 3. She's trying to roll 8s to hit him for a dice off 7 and a dice off 8.
Oh no.
Yeah, so like that Alton Ashley just stopped that because Eris 1 can't fight.
Yeah. All right, guys. Cool. Any more? That sounds like we're going long here.
Yeah.
So bit long. Great.
So yeah, that's where we're at, I guess.
Yeah, it's a brave,
brave same world.
New world.
Yeah. Yeah,
with the same power caster. Wait a minute.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for 2. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.
Is this on recording?
Yeah. If your philosophy is that, you know, you just play what's best and what gives the most matchups, why aren't you playing Kane too? Like, if he's actually the best, just play him.
Oh, I should, but I don't own a Signar army. I mean, I should just go out and buy one.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not. Like, don't get my argument wrong. He is. You can beat him. He is not, you know, this. He just, I'm into an exploring phase, and
he makes what you want to do less fun.
He makes what I want to do less fun. Like, Zirkova 1 is absurdly powerful, but not really.
Disagree.
Because there's like, because it just, she just gets shit on by these True Sight casters.
I think she just gets shit on by good fundamentals.
I know you think that, but.
Can we talk about Rocketeers some more? Because I think 3 Rocketeers are the optimal build for Rifle Corps.
Yeah, I think they are too. Is this obvious troll?
Oh yeah, that's why I stared right at him.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I think you have good tech. Your gun carriage is, like, that's really good stuff that you've been bringing, but...
He's just beating Cloud Walls. Like, Cloud Walls are beatable.
Yeah. But it is the gun carriage, though.
Oh, the gun carriage helps. That's why I take it, because it's good.
Right. No, that model is... Yeah, that model's really good. All the battle engines are turning out to be pretty damn decent.
Do we want to try and do one more?
Yeah, I'd like to do one more about the tournament.
I think we should, because...
So you want to do it about the tournament?
Yeah, just about tournament results and our list pairs.
Takeaways.
Yeah.